Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet radio land, although this is really a podcast, but it is also a radio network, and it's been a while. It's been too long since I've done one of these. Not for lack of interest or lack of material, just time since August of this year, and it's obviously not Christmas season, but since August, I've been on the road almost nonstop and even made a trip to Kenya over our Thanksgiving holiday and came home for a few days and was off to Dallas, and I'm not complaining, just telling you where I've been. And the publishing that I do through Urban Press has kept me quite busy. In fact, I've got several projects hanging over my head, and I literally mean that. I generally don't feel pressure, but I do. In this particular season, we just had our grandchildren here, which was delightful, but they were here for 4 days, and I don't mind if they stay a week, but that's not time I can do any work. And the clock is always ticking on publishing, and it's interesting, I had an author call me who took, you know, a good while to get any changes back to me when we were in the editing process, but called yesterday and wanted to know where the books were. And that's very typical of authors. And they will take 2 months to get something back to me, and then when they get it back to me, say, well, when can I have the book? Well, we don't control that. There's printing involved. We have to go through our process. We have editing, and we're a small operation. Anyway, 'tis the season to be jolly, and I am. And I am grateful that God gives me the opportunity to do what I love to do. And one of those things is encourage people through social media and technology to do something with their faith. Not just something, but to take action, to take steps, to be productive, to be fruitful, which is God's will for our lives. And so that's what we want to do today. I want to go back in the archives, and I have a recorded message from my church that I preached at the beginning of the Christmas season a few years ago. But so I'm going to refer to Thanksgiving in it, but that's just at the beginning, an announcement for the congregation. But then we're going to get in and talk a little bit about Mary and Mary's response to the angel when he came. And I've written about this, and obviously I've taught and preached about this. So now we're going to do a broadcast about this, and the title of it is Have a Merry Christmas. So let's go ahead and get this started, and then I will come back at the end. It's about 30 minutes, and we'll make some additional comments, and I will send you off to have a wonderful Christmas celebration. So here we go. Have a Merry Christmas.
Amen. Well, she did quite well without me, unfortunately. I have to do something about that. I want to make one adjustment to the announcement that was made about the Thanksgiving offering for our missionaries. We didn't really give you much notice. We've only been announcing this a couple of weeks, so we're going to go ahead and extend that. And at any time up through Christmas that you feel led to give, just mark your offering envelope for missionary offering or Thanksgiving missions. Also, the Christmas blessing, if you can mark your offering envelopes the same way. All the money we receive, we didn't quite make it clear that we're going to just divide among the needy families of the church, and we are gathering those names from those who would be in the know. So we know that's hitting you up for two offerings, but after my message tonight, you'll be glad that you have the opportunity to give. Amen? Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open to one of the chapters that focuses on the Christmas story. As you could see from when we began tonight, we lit an Advent candle, and that is because in the traditional church, this is the start of the Advent season. And Advent is a Latin word, ad meaning to, and vent meaning come. So it's a remembrance, it's a memorial, it's a focusing of our attention on the Lord coming to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. So tonight we want to turn to chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel, verse 26. We're going to read 20 verses and look at Christmas, or the coming of Jesus, through the eyes of Mary in the time that we have. In verse 26 of Luke 1, it says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.'" The title of my message is "Have a Merry Christmas." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that the reason for this season is God with us, Emmanuel. It's not about trees. It's not about presents. It's about Jesus. It's about a fulfillment of your promise that you made in the beginning of the Bible that you would come and redeem fallen man. And so today, Lord, we focus on Jesus. We focus on Mary. Most importantly, Lord, we focus on you and your goodness to us. All God's people said, amen. Amen. And as we delve into God's word, may the Lord be with you. I don't have to tell you how difficult it is to stay focused in these days that are coming. We can get so busy with office parties and family parties and decorations and purchasing of gifts, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. You can see we've decorated the church for this special season, and it's just nothing like it. But we have to work. I would recommend that we work at focusing on the reason that we are doing all of this. It's not tinsel time. It's Jesus time. It's God with us time. To help you with that, we've put in the bulletin on the back side of the notes, there are just some recommendations if you want to, maybe with you or your family in your devotional time, to have something to focus on for these next 4 weeks that are leading up to the celebration of Christmas. We decided to focus on faith for the 4 weeks, the faith of Mary, the faith of the shepherds, the faith of Joseph, and the faith of the Magi. Maybe that'll be of use to you and of help to you. I know in my own life and my own family, we need all the help we can get because we will get torn and pulled in any number of directions over the coming days. And it's just so good if we can reach in, just grab some of that time back. And don't get to the 25th and the 26th and say, I didn't even read the Christmas story. We didn't have any special time of talk and devotion around the real message of Christmas. Well, that's just too bad. That's a tragedy. And I know it's happened in our family. And so this year, try to make a special effort to spend just a little more time focusing on the reason for this season. You know, Pastor Blaine reminded me the other day that in the historic church, Christmas was almost a bigger deal than Easter. The incarnation, which is just a fancy word for the Word of God made flesh and dwelling among us, it was the biggest act. Because without the incarnation, without the coming of Jesus, in how we are reading and celebrating it now, there is nothing else that happens in his life. And God, who had been dormant in Israel for three or four centuries, suddenly began to move. And how he began to move is in part through the story that we have read today. Now, the first point I'd like to make is that a lesson of Christmas for you and for me is that you should be like Mary and learn to believe God for the impossible. It's not just history that we are celebrating. It's not just something that happened at some time. We've over the centuries, chosen the date of December 25th. That really probably wasn't when Jesus was born, but it doesn't matter. But we have chosen a day to say this is the day that we celebrate that God decided to clothe himself in flesh and come to live among us. The implications of that are staggering. We would not be here today if that had not taken place. We would be estranged from God. Yet God in his grace reached out and sent his Son. God came not just to save you, but to save you to something. Most people are happy or believe that God came, they surrender their lives to him just to stay out of trouble. And many of us, that's because we were in trouble before we came to him. So sometimes we come to get out of trouble. So if we don't rob banks, if we don't cuss, if we're reasonably nice in traffic and to our neighbors, then that's the sum total of God with us. That's not it. There's something more. And as we go through this story today, we want to focus on Mary's faith. And not just to focus on it as a historical fact, but to focus on it so that we can apprehend some of it and the lessons out of her faith into our daily walk. Because God with us, God with you, should be making a big difference. And it's not just to keep you out of trouble. God uses everyone, youth, women, the weak, the poor, senior citizens, to carry out his will in the Christmas story. No one is exempt. Whenever I talk to youth groups, I say, how many of you want to be treated like an adult? That's the goal of every young person, isn't it? That was our goal when we were young. Just tell you, don't treat me like a child. I say, I've got a place where you can go and you will always be treated like an adult. And, you know, they're sitting on the edge. Where? I say, you can go to God. They kind of look at me a little shocked. And I say, yeah, because if you're 14 or 15 and you pray, and God hears you, he'll answer your prayer just like as if you were much older, had a lot more experience in him. If you lead somebody to the Lord and you're 16, it's not that they eventually have to be led to the Lord by somebody else who's older. No, they are as saved as if Billy Graham led them to the Lord. And Mary was a youngin. She was not old, probably a teenager. God chose her. Yet he chose a lot of people in this story. And when God moved, and we'll talk about this later, when God moved, everybody moved. God is, when God with us, there's not a passive message. Imagine, we have the knowledge and the understanding that God is with us. Go tell it on the mountain. What are we telling? God is with us. God can be with others if they will put their faith in Him. That's our message. That's why we're here. You are never too old, too young, too male, too female, too poor, too anything for God to use you for His purposes. And as I said, when God moves, you will move too. See, I hear that a lot. You know, as I've traveled and you speak at conferences and people come and they want to be inspired and they want to be uplifted and you know they're there because they want God to do something in their life, and very often they will say, we want to see God move. A new believer one time, when they heard somebody say that, asked me, they said, what happened? Did God change locations? I said, no, that's not what they mean. You know, the moving truck didn't come and He went someplace else. See, how many of us have said, oh, we wish God would move in our country. We wish God would move in our city. Well, the message of God with us is that God moves. But when God moves, everybody moves. As I mentioned earlier, God had been dormant for centuries, the promise of the Messiah. And you read the Gospels, everybody's on a Messiah watch. Is this it? Is this it? Is he here? Is He the one? Is John the one? Is this it? They were on a Messiah watch. And suddenly, when God moved, everybody moved. Gabriel moved. And Joseph moved. And Mary moved. And Zechariah moved. And Elizabeth moved. And the Magi moved. And the shepherds moved. And Mary had to go when she was pregnant to Bethlehem for the census. And after the baby was born, they had to flee down to Egypt for their lives, and then they came back. Oh, be careful when you say, oh, God, I want to see You move. Because when God moves, He may move you. Some of us have trouble moving out of our pews, our seats where we normally sit. Oh, Lord, move. Well, somebody took my space. I don't like this angle. I feel discombobulated. Oh, but God, if You would just move and do something in the earth. Oh, God, we need revival in this city. What if God wants to use you to bring revival? Well, not me, Lord. I'll watch it. I'll even give $2 or $3 for it. Not $5. Do you have change? $2 or $3. When God moves, you will move too. But no matter the consequences, you are blessed and favored when God gives you an assignment. No matter the consequences, you are blessed and favored when God gives you an assignment. It always intrigues me that the Lord did not send Gabriel to apologize to Mary. There was a movie years ago where they said, God, love means you never have to say you're sorry. Well, change the name, the words around to say God means. Being God means you never have to say you're sorry. See, He didn't come and Gabriel didn't say, gee, Mary, sit down. I got bad news. I mean, people are going to misunderstand you. I mean, I'm not even going to tell your parents what I'm telling you now. But you're going to be pregnant and you're not married. I wish I didn't have to do this to you. Oh, no, that's not what the angel came. The angel came and said, you are highly favored, Mary. When God asks you to do something, when He assigns something to you, oh, you are highly favored. I don't know if the Lord sends me on the mission field. Oh, you are highly favored. Oh, I don't know if the Lord wants me to break up with this relationship. I found Him, and this person doesn't. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, no, you're highly favored. Whatever God asks you to do, you found God. When He asks you to do something, He is calling you unto Himself. And you are blessed and highly favored. Oh, but I work for a boss that's so hard. Oh, but you're blessed and highly favored because God put you there. God knows your name. The person you're serving may not know His name. They may seem like they're on top, but oh, no, you're the one that's blessed and highly favored. God knew that person was there when He sent you there. He custom made this situation for you. And you're blessed and you're highly favored. But Lord, it's so hard. Oh, but you're blessed and you're highly favored. Doing the will of God is not a guarantee that all will go smoothly or without trouble or persecution or everyone is going to understand. You know, this shadow of what happened with Mary followed her and Jesus all their lives. It's my theory that when in John 8, when the Pharisees said to Jesus, we were not born of fornication, we are sons of Abraham. I think the implication was, we weren't, you are, you were. And this was 30 years after it happened. And the angel didn't apologize. She was chosen in heaven. Your name is known in heaven. And if God has an assignment for you, hoo-hoo. Doesn't get any better than that. But you must value the word and not the experience that brings you the word. A lot of experience seekers. Mary didn't seek encounters with angels after this. She sought the will of God. A lot of people want the experience. I don't feel it. Doesn't matter whether you feel it. Is God in it? That's the important thing. And, you know, I said in the point there that we should not value the experience, but sometimes we can avoid the experience that brings us the word. And we can get too hung up on failure. Oh, you don't know what I went through, and it didn't work out. So I'll never do that again. But if you found God in it, if you learned lessons from about the Lord, it can't be failure. Every year, about every 18 months, in the weekly email that I write, the Monday memo, I declare it to be some point in the year, celebrate a failure week. And I urge people all over the world to take a week and reflect and meditate and think about what failure has done in your life. In many cases, it's brought you closer to the Lord. It has been a learning experience. So we can value the experience, oh, I want to see angels, or we can disvalue the experience, say, no, I'll just attend. God, don't put this on me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to have faith for this. I'll behave. See, the problem is the maturity brings responsibility. Point number five, maturity brings responsibility. It's interesting. Earlier in Luke, Zechariah is told by the angel that his elderly wife, Elizabeth, is pregnant. He says, how? And Gabriel says, shut your mouth, boy. You will not speak for 9 months because you asked me that. The angel came to young Mary, says, you're pregnant. She says, how? And nothing happens to her. The angel answers her question. You know, it's interesting to me that after Jesus left, and the apostles had been with him 3 or 4 years, they were addressing the leaders of their day with the good news of the gospel. Now, I won't ask how many of you here have known the Lord more than 3 or 4 years, but maturity brings responsibility. And God has a right to come and look at the tree and shake it and see if there's any fruit. And if there isn't, he may want to see how he can produce some. And that's where difficult times can come to make you more mindful of who he is and what he wants from you. Not us. You. Faith is not an event. It's a lifestyle. Faith is very often what we do, you know, wow, I had faith. I'm glad I don't have to do that again. I can go back to normal. Whew, jumped out the plane, pulled the parachute. Thank you, Jesus. But no more. Faith is a lifestyle. See, Elizabeth blessed Mary and said that you have believed everything the Lord has said to you about this baby. It just wasn't faith for the birth. She was at the crucifixion. She was standing at the foot of the cross, still believing God for what he had promised about her son, Jesus. Oh, it's not an event. It's a lifestyle. And faith muscles, as they are increased, as they are used, God can ask you to pick up heavier things. But it's not just about you. It's not just about you. God will use the lessons from your faith walk to teach other people, as evidenced by Elizabeth's pregnancy. Why, God? Elizabeth and Zechariah crying out over the years, why, God? Why not now? Why not a baby? And suddenly in their elderly years, she is pregnant, and now you realize that she was pregnant in part at that late date to encourage her young cousin Mary. It's not just about you. God will put you through a difficult time. God will have you exercise faith so that you have a testimony, and he may have you be a public person with your private lessons. He may have you be a public person with your private lessons. Oh no, I don't want any attention. It's just the Lord. Oh, come on. You're his mouthpiece. I mean, it sounds so Christian. Oh no. I can't, I don't want to draw any attention to myself. Come on, people. You're his body. If he doesn't draw attention to himself through you, what is he? He's not going to do a star and go through everything. No, it's you. You have the story. You have the good news. You have the testimony. Oh, I could never write it because I wouldn't want people to think I'm drawing attention to myself. Get over it. If you are dead and your life is in Christ, God can make you a celebrity if he wants to, and it's none of your business. Oh, but no, I just... See, because very often we're just trying to protect our privacy. It's not about the Lord. It really isn't. It's about, I don't want the trouble. I don't want the mess. I don't want my world being invaded. Well, God with us, he's already invaded. He's already come. You can't pick and choose. Well, I'll take him here. I'll take him here. But I don't like that. To take him here. It's not a menu. I'll take one of these, two of these. No, I don't like that. It's not according to my taste. Won't give there. Don't like to give there. Save and then no. Yeah, but we don't get a choice. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. When the angel told Mary, when he answered her question, how, he told her the Holy Spirit would do it. I present to you that she had no more information after the angel spoke to her than before. Because when you and I hear Holy Spirit, we have some theology, some understanding of what that is, who that is, and what he does. For Mary, as a teenage Jewish girl, she didn't have the same understanding. Basically, Gabriel was saying, honey, God will take care of it. And her response was, good enough for me. Be it done unto me according to your word. You may not have the information you need to know how you will accomplish your faith projects, but you know what to do, and that is enough for today. The title of the message is to have a Merry Christmas. Our first point is that a lesson of Christmas is that you should be like Mary and learn to believe God can do what he said he would do. But the question I will leave you with as we close is, what are you trusting God for right now that if he doesn't act on your behalf, you are helpless and you will fail? A loved one that you are believing will come to the Lord regardless of what the circumstances look like right now. A degree, a business, a job, an offering for the missionaries. What is it that you are believing the Lord for? Again, faith isn't just the parachute that we do everything. It's a lifestyle. My wife tore her retina a couple weeks ago. She lost vision in her right eye, and thank God she's getting better. But she had a goal set for December 31st, and because she has to shut down now, she said the other day, oh, I don't think I can get my goal. I said, stop it. God is not limited. Don't you dare let go of your goal. You hold that faith goal till December 31st at 11:59, and we'll hold it after December the 31st. Because God can act afterwards. Zero can be on the clock in a basketball game, but somebody can be on the foul line and take a shot and still win. It's never over. It's never too late. And you can have a Merry Christmas by exercising the same faith that Mary had based on what God had spoken to her and what he had showed her. What has he shown you? I made a decision years ago, brothers and sisters. I determined I'd rather die in faith than live in fear and presumption. I'd rather die believing God to do something in my life and through my life than to live in fear and presumption that I may be going too far or trying too much or doing too much that would draw attention to myself. I said, God, I want to run as far and as hard and as fast as you will enable me to run, and I want to do it for you. And tonight, I want to invite you to join me. Let's bow our heads. Well, first and foremost, if you're here tonight, here today, and you've never given your life to the Lord, this is a perfect opportunity. The Christmas season, God with us. When the drama of salvation began with the birth of Christ, who came to save men from their sins, and women too. And if you're here today, and you never can look at a day when you said, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to abandon my ways and by your grace live your ways. If you've never done that, what a perfect time to do this. If you're visiting, better yet, you don't know anybody here. You don't have to be self-conscious. This is between you and the Lord. If you're here today, and you say, I would like to make that decision. I would like to give my life to Emmanuel, to Jesus, to this God that you are talking about who is with us. I want him to be with me. If that's you, just raise your hand where you are. Raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to thank you. I'm not going to tackle you to the ground. Anyone else? Anyone else? Someone else? Anyone? Thank you. Yes. Thank you. I see that hand. Someone else? Anyone else? What a great day to do this. What a great day. You're not guaranteed you can do this tomorrow. And that's not trying to be dramatic. That's just the truth. The door is open. Who will walk through it? Anyone else? Raise your hand where you are. Anyone else? Very good. Well, I just want to ask you, in the interest of time, to, when we close, take a step, take a few minutes to seal your decision. 5 minutes for eternity, that's what I call it. Go to our prayer room, right over to my left and to your right. There will be counselors there who will meet you and who will pray with you. Please take the time. Take your family with you. Take your personal belongings with you. Go in there and meet with someone face to face, and they will help you understand what I've asked you to do tonight. That's all. That's only follow-up we're going to have. This room right over to my left, to your right. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed still, you're here and you say, I want to have a Merry Christmas. There's something God has spoken to me about and I need to exercise faith. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Yes, keep your hands raised. I've felt impressed all tonight. There's a young person here. You're not applying to a college because it's too expensive. I want to tell you, go apply to the college. Faith without action is dead. You don't need the money today. That's why you don't have it. It's only November. Go apply for the school of your dreams. There's someone else, too, I believe, that needs money for a business. And you've not been applying because you've been told there's no money out there. Faith without action is dead. Go make all the applications you can this week. God has a surprise for you. And whoever that is, if you want to come and see me and tell me about it, maybe it's not in this service, maybe it's for somebody that's going to watch the video or listen to it on CD. But with your hands raised, Father, I thank you for this lesson of Christmas, that we, like Mary, can put our faith and trust in you, and you will fulfill every promise, every word, because you initiated it. You started it, Lord. You put it in our hearts. And so for these, my brothers and sisters, whose hands are raised tonight, whatever it is they're facing, I pray that you would be with them this week and this season, and may this coming month be the most significant month they've ever had as they walk with you. May they see you move in ways reminiscent of the Christmas story. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Let's all stand together. Pastor Rock will be back with us next week, but right now just extend your hands, receive the blessing of the Lord. Now, Lord, may this Advent season be a time when you speak to all of us. May we realize more than ever before the implications and the blessings of the truth that God is with us. May the Holy Spirit that spoke and worked with and through Mary work and speak through each one of us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go in peace.
Yes, God bless you, and go in peace. You know, the closing of that I did, oh gosh, that must be 8 or 9 years old. The message is still relevant, and the closing is still relevant. What are you trusting the Lord for that if he doesn't do it, you're going to look foolish? Where does he want you to exercise faith? Where are you predetermining what God will or will not do? And thus you are not taking steps of faith that you could take. That's the lesson for me. And if nothing else, you can make a verbal affirmation. That's what Mary did. How can this be? The Holy Spirit did it. Okay. Behold your servant. Be it done unto me according to your word. And then she took off to see Elizabeth. And we don't know all everything that had to happen. She had to tell Joseph, but she had faith, and that's what I want to encourage you to do. Well, that's about it for today, I really wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll see if we can do something in the next week or so to take advantage of the new year and as we look ahead and begin to make plans in faith for what kind of 2022 we would like to experience. And so we'll see if we have time to do that. And so I'm looking for my show clothes. It's been a while here. I have to click on something. But anyway, we will see what we can do in the next coming week. So until we're together again, this is John Stanko wishing you Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and make sure you have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.